Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pod of thunder and rock and roll, and it's time for the much anticipated, highly decorated Duff McKagan joke of the week.
Chris Jericho, Duff McKagan calling here. Hope you're doing well. Hope everybody out there is doing well. Listen, you know what you call a reluctant potato? A hesitator. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
All right, Duff, always delivering the laughs. Just like Swerve Strickland not only delivers the wrestling talent, but also his rap artistry. His new record is out called You Couldn't Be Me. It's on Spotify, and he has spent a lot of time working on this. We talked about this the last time Swerve was on Talk as Jericho, but he's up the ante on You Couldn't Be Me, working with Kanye West's producers, working with Benny the Butcher. He talks about the lyrics, the raps, the flow. He talks about inspiration. He talks about how he's utilizing his pro wrestling persona within the world of rap music, why he decided to release the record now, and what he plans to do with it. Swerve Strickland, one of my favorite, most creative people in AEW, and very cool to have him releasing his debut solo record, You Couldn't Be Me. Go check it out on Spotify. And we talk about his concert that he did last minute on the Jericho Cruise, plus the amazing chess tournament that we had on the cruise. Swerve and Luchasaurus beating Jake Hager and my son, Ash Irvin. It was a great time. So we hear all about chess, rap, concerts, wrestling, everything in between right here, right now on Talk is Jericho. So one of my favorite people in AEW from an entrepreneur standpoint is Swerve Strickland. Always have cool stuff going on. And before we get into the big news, which is your new album, which just dropped basically this week, let's talk a little about chess.
Oh yes.
The amazing chess that you had on the cruise, which was hilarious. Now, are you good at chess? Because your team won. You guys won.
We did. I hope that proves that I'm good at it. I like to think I don't play as often. I think the last time I played was like a girlfriend of mine or whatever, and I try to get my kids to play it because now my oldest is 13. So I try to get her to like, hey, you're playing sports, you're playing basketball. Chess is the sport you need to, this is the game you need to learn. You know, this is great for you. So that's the last time I really played. But I was really just like an assistant coach to Luchasaurus, who almost lost us the game in the fourth quarter. But I was like, I had one of those call timeout. Let's get everybody together. Let's regroup. And we end up winning afterwards. But man,
well, it was hilarious fun. Because Luchasaurus had the idea on the Jericho Cruise to do a chess tournament, chess game or whatever.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize that Hager plays chess and you play chess and Daddy Magic plays chess. And then my son Ash apparently plays chess in his car. Like there's car games now on the dashboards and stuff. So he was involved, which was pretty hilarious. So I think it was Jake and Ash against you and Luchasaurus with Daddy Magic and Nick Aldis commentating, which was hilarious.
They were hilarious. It was like, and I was like IG live in the whole time on my phone. So it was like, I was like, let's try to make this as like cinematic as possible with this whole thing, Siskel and Ebert watching us while we were, and so that was a good time. And it was like, and Ash was so good. He had like a lot of good moves and tactics. And Jake's like a competitive, like chess master minds, or if we could say, and they were fun counter playing their moves.
I'm like,
oh, I really got to have to dig in this a little bit more. So it was fun. It was actually a really good contest and a good game. And we drew a crowd.
You did?
We drew a crowd. They were cheering. They were laughing. They were chanting. They were like booing certain moves. Are we heels right now? Like, it was awesome.
How did you almost lose? How did Luchasaurus almost lose? Because I don't understand anything about chess.
Really?
Like, I don't really get the game at all.
So we had them like, first of all, we took like the right pieces. So a lot of those like the big pieces like the knights and the rooks, and those are like they can move like more advantageously than the pawns can. Pawn one move and they can only take corner. But like we had them taking, we had a lot of their pawns on the board. We took a lot of their big moves like their rooks and their that can move around. And we had them like, and it's all about like gaining ground. So we had them like most of the board taken, and we were cornering him in. And he made a silly move to like go back to try to take this one piece. I'm like, don't worry about that piece. We got him here. We can
forward.
Get him. Yeah. Yeah. Move forward. And he went back and took a piece, and that got us sacrificed. And now that opened up that side of the board again. And then they start swooping in on us. I'm like, no. So now we're like, regroup, back him up. But we end up getting him back and like pinning him down. It's like, we got one queen. We can make a lot of moves with this one queen, because the queen can move anywhere around the board. If you have that, you can always like,
you can always pull it out of the
You fire. Can always pull something out. Yeah.
Well, it was very entertaining, like we said. And when you were IGing live, we were thinking, is he faking IGing live and just getting answers from people of what they should do for a move?
Some people were actually throwing in like tips. They were like, oh, wrong move, man. Like, oh, I wouldn't have done that. And I'm like, oh, y'all really paying attention to this game right now. Because I was like holding at the board, but not too long. But people were like, man, oh, you should go quit King Rook to Knight 7. I'm like, wait, what? I don't even know what that means. But no, I'm not doing anything you're saying. But they were watching and paying attention. They were like, why is this oddly entertaining? I kept like, it kept growing, the numbers watching.
Sure, and because of the guys playing, you never expect wrestlers to be playing chess. I think that's kind of the idea.
And I'm like, and I think they didn't expect the type of wrestlers that were playing chess. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't expect me and the resource to be on the team.
Hager,
Ash and, you know, Hager. Yeah. I'm like, that's an odd combo. Let's watch this.
Yeah.
I think the odd combos are what kind of helps and draws interest a little bit. Just that kind of thing.
Well, we were coming up with the activities to do on the ship and then on the fly, because we couldn't go to port. So one of the things that we did was I did a Q&A session, and you did basically an impromptu live show.
Yes.
I asked you the day before if you could do it, and we're talking to talk about your new record here. So how was that? And have you done a lot of live shows before?
That might have been my fifth ever one.
Wow. Okay.
The others have been in groups with my partner, TZ.
Yeah.
You know? He's the one that taught me how to rap like 3 or 4 years ago from scratch. Like, I knew nothing about formulating a record, writing syllable schemes and different concepts and stuff. He taught me from scratch.
Hmm.
And so he's kind of been my guidance in the music industry. And so he's been the only person I've been performing with besides in Seattle. I perform with Flash, who does my entrance song. And he's written records in the room with Kanye West and stuff like that.
Mm. And we met him before too,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Now, Flash is awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome person. Well-connected dude. So this is my first time really like flying solo. And I was like, okay, what records will... Because like, I noticed in certain cities, certain songs you want to start with and then grow to, or do you want to start off high, bring them down, then bring them back up? And I'm like, I don't have somebody else with me to play off of. How do I do this by myself? Mm-hmm. So it was a learning tool that I needed, and especially people looking above you rather than like around you, or, you know, like.
Because the venue kind of has a balcony up there.
Right. And the atrium.
The atrium, right.
Yeah. It was. And so that was like, okay, I got to work these guys up here, make sure they get along. Can I get them clapping? Can I get them engaged? So it was a lot of like tools that I've really had to learn.
Hmm.
As well.
Interesting.
As like having a little bit of experience, but I'm still learning as I do this. And that was like, honestly, a learning tool for me. It helped me out so much. Hmm. Just being able to just like, because it was also not like an auditorium. People are here to see you. People are just kind of like walking through the boat and stuff.
Right.
Like, can I grab him? Can I get him to stay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I get him like, can I get the females up? Can I get the males up? Can I get them, yo, hey, can I get the ow, can I get the girls? You know, can I get the kids? You know, so I'm like kind of paying attention to all these things and which records hit and click a little bit more. And I'm pretty sure you know this whole, you know, this same mm-hmm. thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to grab people that are just kind of just perusing around.
Right.
And especially being like a impromptu act. They weren't expecting it. So now it's like, okay, now I got to get the people who weren't expecting that.
Get them engaged, right?
Yeah.
So did it work out for you?
It did. The crowd grew. They stayed around to the top. A lot of people were asking for, like, where can I get these songs? I'm like, they're not even out yet. So like, this is why I keep making music, because you never know when you just got to, boom, drop, like, perform. Did you have 3 songs? Do you have 4 songs? Do you have...
And that's
20 minutes?
Yeah, it's like being a comedian. You got 5 minutes you can do. I mean, how long can you go, right?
Yeah. Do you have material ready?
Yes, ready to go.
And I'm like, yeah, I do. And I just happen to have them, you know.
So did you do some of the songs on You Couldn't Be Me, the new record?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I did one of the songs from one of TZ's records that I featured on, Other Side 2, that has like 200,000 streams right now. I think that's still growing. We did that about 2 years ago now. I started off with Lifeline. Lifeline was the first single solo I've ever did. So I put that first... I open with that because it's real smooth, groovy. Prophet, the producer, produced that. He produced a lot of the records. Like, I think like 5 records on this whole project. And Prophet won 2 Grammys with Kanye as well. So there's a lot of Kanye.
Yeah, there's a lot of collaborating on here with some guys. Like we mentioned Flash. He's on here as well.
Yeah. I have a collaboration with Benny the Butcher, who's just dropped. He just got a gold album, a gold record with J. Cole recently this year. And that hasn't been added to Spotify, but I'm on that album. But we're going to re-release it as a single on Spotify soon. So everybody's hitting me up. I'm like, yo, where's that Benny record on Spotify? It's coming. It's on Tidal. It's on
iTunes. It's cool that they know, though.
Yeah, okay. They are interested. They are, like, wanting it.
Right.
Benny's on the – but it's on, that record's on iTunes. It's on Tidal and other streaming platforms. It just hasn't got on Spotify. But we're going to fix that problem over this week.
Well, let's talk about this. You've got the new record here, and you mentioned smooth. Like, when I listen through it, it's really good, but it's very smooth. Like, you could put this on. It's not a gangster rap style. It's just, it's more like, almost has a real R&B element to it, if you think of it that way, you know?
Yeah.
And like I said, I really dug kind of the smooth jazz.
Yeah.
With, you know what I mean? Like, is that kind of your style?
I grew up on it. I grew up on R&B. I was just with a lady friend of mine. We were driving and cruising, and we were playing like old school stuff because she's an 80s baby. I'm an 80s baby. And we grew up on like the, you know, the Genuines and the SWVs and the Escapes and like the Luther Vandross and stuff, you know.
Lou Rawls,
man. Like the Teddy Pendergrasses and all those guys. Like, I'm a Music Soul Child. I mentioned him before. Music Soul Child's a huge legend, R&B soul. And he really kicked off in the 90s, 99 to 2000s. And that really influenced like my outlook on music and how hip hop and R&B, there's a fusion that can happen with that kind of thing. And like Tyler Creator's like recent albums like Flower Boy and then going into Igor, then just doing Call Me If You Get Lost. Those albums have a lot of like R&B elements to it, but like hard concepts with like conceptions of like grittiness, a little raw to it, a little more attitude, but it's still like on a groovy path. It's like a vibe, and I'm like, that influenced the hell out of me to like that's kind of where I want to go singles, like solo wise as an artist, and just be conceptualized, because I'm not the one to just drop a song just like, all right, here's a song, I made a song. I like to have things with it. I like to have things to, you know, like, I don't want to just have, it's like kind of like wrestling. I don't want to just have a match to like, oh, he can have a good match. I'm like, no, I want to have like a story along with that. I want to have like roots to it. And then I want it to take off and go somewhere.
That's how you wrote your album in that vein as well?
That's why the way the look is, you couldn't be me. I'm like in a crystal ball while the world's falling apart.
Right. I love that cover too. You sent it to me before.
Yeah, thank
you. So that's what it symbolizes?
Yeah, it's like, it's almost like you ever walk in, like, you ever been in that situation where you feel like, is everybody else going crazy and going mad, or is it just me?
It's just me, right?
Yeah, but you feel like, but to everybody else, it's normal. This is just how things go. But to you, you're just seeing everything like, what's, like, am I crazy? Or am I messing? Like, why am I thinking like this? Like, and then you got to go. Then you got to go to other people to kind of like tell me if I'm crazy. And you just explain your whole situation, right? That's kind of like, that's what the music's doing. I'm explaining my situation of seeing a lot of craziness. And I'm kind of referring to the audience. Am I crazy? Am I wild? Or is the world just going crazy right now? That's why I kind of put in I put myself in its own space of like, you couldn't be me. You know, it was also like a shot at people that were like, I like to shoot. I like to be petty in a lot of ways. But I like to, it was a shot of like, when I was coming up in the industry, it was like, oh, he's cool, but he doesn't do what this guy does. So I was like, oh, I like, if I worked hard at this, I could be you, but you could work your lifetime, you can never be me. You can never do what I do.
Right.
So that was just like my
rallying cry.
The industry of wrestling and whatever, because it's weird. If you don't fit this criteria, you can't be in this lineup of the best in the world.
Sure.
And it's like, why do I have to fit that? Why can't I like some people are like, oh, he's the new this, he's the new that. I'm like, I don't want to be the new this. I want to be this. Like, why can't I create my own criteria that people can't be it? They can't do it. I think that's more impressive than trying to fall in the line of being the next this, the next that, the next that. That's harder to do. So that's where like the you couldn't be me concept kind of came from.
You're even going to get that. I'm sure we've talked about this before, but, you know, as a wrestler and the fact that you are putting on a rap record, you know, we don't get as much now with Fozzy, but still sometimes, oh, it's just wrestler guys band. Even with five top 10 hits and a gold record, it's like they'll never, ever change from that. Do you ever experience that now you put out this record? Like I'm saying, this is not good for a wrestler, it's good for a rapper. I think it's really well done.
I appreciate that.
Do you ever hear from people like, oh, you're a wrestler guy or a rap guy?
Early on, Early on, it's like, oh, another wrestler rapping. Another wrestler rapping.
Right.
But then, like, as it grew, like, and even with, like, even AEW this past year helping with that, like, oh, man, he has Tech N9ne here. Oh, snap. He's affiliated with Rick Ross.
Rick Ross, and, you like, brought in, yeah.
Kevin Gates. I'm like, oh, these are real rappers.
Kevin Gates, right.
Like, these are, like, real, real rappers. These are real artists, you know, bringing Diddy's kids here, you know, all these things. Fabulous on stage. They're like, oh, these are real. Okay, I kind of got to look at him a little differently now because, like, now he looks like he belongs with us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, that's the cool thing. It's like I kind of dip into the both worlds. It's not like me trying to play this to be this and then me using this to enhance
you are
that.
This.
I'm both.
Yeah.
You know? And that's like took a lot of time and wheeling and dealing and figuring out and configuring to try to make that.
So how do you get those guys to come? Like, obviously, Rick Ross, I wasn't familiar with Kevin Gates. I sure was afterwards because,
right.
You know, rap's not my scene, but I looked up, you know, all the stuff and like, dude.
And that's what the point of that is.
That's the idea, right?
Yeah.
But when you bring those guys in here, how are you getting them in here? And even having Rick Ross on the show, I mean, he was involved. Yeah. It looked like he probably wanted to be involved more. You know?
Oh, he still does. He still blows up our phones about that.
Yeah.
AB, man, shout out to Albert Gentile, man, who's been killing it with a lot of these
He's kind of a celebrity wrangler that...
Yeah, like I was just in Jacksonville and I was on stage with Rick Ross while he was performing and Kevin Gates, they both kept co-headlined and he got me backstage passes. I got on stage with Rick and Rick just in between the sets, he just like shouted me out on stage. I'm like, what is happening here?
By the way, I love Kevin Gates. It's the most non-rap... rap name ever, but he makes it work.
Dude, he's just a bright energy ball.
Yeah.
Without having to be so outlandish. Mm-hmm. Like he just has this energy about him. You just gravitate to him. And people in music, people outside of music that don't know hip hop, don't necessarily know Kevin Gates's his catalog, you see him on Instagram and you hear these quotes and these like motivational speeches that he gives because like he's just, that's his energy. Mm-hmm. He has a light about him, you know, that just gravitates past music. And I think that's, and he's still young in the game too. I remember him in this Double XL freshman cover, which is the Double XL magazine. Every year they release like 10 to 12 freshmen in hip hop. And I remember he was one of them. Mm. And I was like, okay, this dude is going to be fire. And like now it's like I can just call on him whenever I need to.
So really AB, cool. AB introduces you to them saying that you got to meet this guy.
Yeah.
He's a fan of yours, but he's also a big name of his own type of a thing.
Yes.
Establish a connection.
Yeah. AB, he books primarily for Kevin Gates. That's one of his primary artists. He's booked Lil Wayne before. He's worked with like Diddy. He's worked with, you name him, Rick, of course. He's worked with like Cardi B, a lot of these artists and stuff, just like booking big shows and stuff like that for like 15 years. So he's built up a lot of connections and relationships. And it's not even just the artists that you want to meet. This is what I realized about the industry and music industry and actually industry all together, which I'm sure you have too. You don't try to go to the artist because it's like, it feels like getting to the top of the mountain. You kind of want to get like a degree closer every time, especially when you're starting low.
Right.
You want to get a degree closer. I'm like, okay, I can't get to Rick Ross, but Rick Ross worked with this engineer who's like doubled with this guy who's made some songs with this guy. Okay, let me get to this guy and bring him in, yada, yada, yada. Okay, cool. He can get you here. He likes this guy. And then you'd be like, okay, he got you in the studio with
That's
dude
smart, yeah.
that works with him. All right, now remember, which we discussed on our podcast, Swerve City Podcast, when we came to your house and stuff, you still have to be talented. You still have to, your work has to be good. So it's not just about like, the name game can only work so much and networking and connecting. You have to actually practice and work on your craft and get yourself to those positions to be able to perform and prove that, okay, I like this dude. He is worth something. Even though he may not be there yet, but there's something there. All right, I'm going to get you to so-and-so. And that's how it's kind of climbed with my podcast, with my music, with wrestling. Just like it gets me to the point of
especially
entering
too,
the door.
With music, too, like it almost has to be better than the average bear, so to speak, because you know, people are like, okay, well, yeah, let me give it a shot. And if it's really good, you blow people away. That's when you get the respect.
Yes.
And once you got respect, dude, you're in.
Yes.
You're in. It's like against all odds. Oh, here he is, and he is crushing it. We never expected it. You know what I mean? Low expectations are a good thing if you have a good product.
Especially if you're not the chosen one in the game.
Right,
if, like, because, you know, the industry plant thing of like, oh, they picked up some kid off the street who has a lot of views on TikTok or whatever. Throw him on into so-and-so. How's he performing in front of 10,000 people at Lollapalooza or all these events and stuff? I never heard of this guy.
Right.
There's those situations and cases that happen where, like, I never heard of this guy. Why is he featured with, like, Meg Thee Stallion and they're doing, like, 20 million streams? But if you're starting from, like, this is you. You have no industry backing. You have nothing. And that grinds are going to be a little longer and a little harder. But it's not as impossible if you just stay consistent and stay committed. And once again, get a degree closer each and every time. Go to those shows, like, uninvited. Mm. Just go. Show up. Like, ask to help out, you know, or, like, make a friend. Make a, like, with the security. Security gets you to this dude. This dude gets you to the guy who is, like handling the and the speakers and oh man, I remember you from North Carolina. Oh, we doing Georgia next week. You down? Yeah, go through. You know, and just the fact that they see you over and over again gets you a degree closer to meeting the artist and the guy, or not even to get into the artist, get into the manager of the artist, get into the, you know, the booker of the venue to the, you know, that gets you something. There's material and there's value in all those steps. It's just about the consistency and the commitment to it. So a lot of people just like kind of like, oh man, I didn't get it. So all right, I'll just move on to the next. I'm like, no, like double back on that. Yeah. But then like, then if that's successful, then you can try the next one.
That's some great advice there. It's very smart. Talking about when you release the record, and obviously we'll talk more about it, but what's the best way to get music out there now? Because I'm starting to get into the TikTok realm.
Oh yeah.
Which seems to be like one of the biggest ways to get music into people's hands is by these short little clips, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Like remember, you didn't even post it, but somebody posted you dancing on the cruise.
Right.
And they put your clip with a bunch of other songs and all that stuff. And that goes viral out of nowhere. You don't intend to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it works. It's like now it kind of the way it takes off is like kind of like there's something a sound in your song that like just it hits to people, then they can just make a joke out of it or make it relatable or put like a little comedy skit behind it, and it kind of relates to many things. Like for us, Rick Ross Accusations took off like crazy because it was just funny. It just that word and that phrasing of him making that.
He said that here in AEW.
Yeah.
What did he say?
Keith Lee accused me of like breaking Billy Gunn's fingers and all that stuff. Yeah. And he was like, Rick Ross just shouts out, accusations, false accusations. And then like Brooklyn Nets used it and stuff like that.
Ah, there you go, right?
Yeah. But it was a sound. And now and it just takes off because that relates into so many, like when your girl accuses you of coming in late after, after being late to like accusations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So now you take those kind of concepts and you put them in music.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've been realizing. So it kind of makes me like, okay, there has to be a part in my song when I'm writing this like 16, 24 bars. I got to have something that's like relatable, that hits. It's like, oh, there has to be like a beat drop, boom, this says something, or like a phrase you say it over and over and over again, and that just might take off somewhere. So that's how like kind of music's relegated now. And it's like not like those 6 to 8 minute ballads we used to,
right?
Like we used to love coming up.
Yeah.
Now it's like 2 to 2.5 minutes in and out, boom.
Or which like, is funny because that's what Beatles songs all are from the 60s. There's no long Beatles songs until they get a little bit older in their career. But the 2.5 minutes, you know, start with the chorus and that's it. Get in, get out, and go on to the next one.
I'm learning from Music Soul Child. Like he's like, there's very rarely I start with the chorus. I don't start with a hook. Go right into like
that's a Beatles trick.
Yep. And then you get that later on, like running back 2-3 times, and boom, you're done.
Yeah. Interesting.
So that's kind of like the shorter the song, the more like relatable of like a phrase that you can put out that can like kind of take off and
a catchphrase.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally. It's kind of like a comedy skit too. Like comedians do it all the time. Like Kevin Hart was great at it at his last, like the last four stand-ups. Like, all right, all right, all right. That took off like crazy.
Ah, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that took off like crazy. He said, like, oh, man, he has so many.
He was like Seinfeld, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
That's still a thing. Yeah. It became a thing.
It just became a thing.
Yada, yada,
now,
yada,
if TikTok
yada.
Was back then,
yeah.
That would have been like, yeah, everybody right. would have wanted to be like, what is the show? Oh, my God. Like,
yeah.
Even though it was already a huge hit, like, it became more of like a huge hit later on.
Yeah, that adds to it. Yeah, yeah. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When you're talking about something you mentioned early on in our conversation, that Montesi taught you how to rap.
Yes.
Now, how do you learn to rap? Like, it seems to me that you obviously had the skill for it, but what did he teach you about rapping?
He taught me how to formulate what I was, like, what was in my head.
From onto, a lyrical standpoint?
Yeah. Like, when to, like, every six bars, switch up the flow a little bit. Don't be afraid to like drop out of a scheme to make a side comment or something like that to show your charisma a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because like hip hop fans like slick talkers. It's not so much as much like getting as many cool punchlines in as much as you want and, you know, in the speed of it or whatever. People like it doesn't even have to make sense. It just has to sound cool and slick. Like, yo, that was fire. Like, you know, like, Big Daddy Kane was really big at that. He just had, like, really, like, thinking of a master plan. You know, say things that was
even
really,
I know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was Rakim and stuff like
oh,
that.
Right,
like,
right.
That was Rakim. But,
yeah.
Like, they would just say things that were just really cool and fresh that you wanted to be cool like them. So you kind of go out there and not really try. That's why in the records, I can switch up my flow a bunch of different times and voice inflections too. And knowing when to take it up, when to draw back and be cool. And so then, okay, I'm talking about a girl. I can't be aggressive talking about a girl. Nobody wants aggressive talkers talking about women. So like, I got to switch that mode a little bit.
Yeah.
So he taught me those little things and when to pick up, when to slow down, A, B, rhyme schemes or ABBAs and stuff like that.
Also, not to interrupt you, but you're talking about being a lyric writer, even in rock and roll. It's the meter of the, I don't know, Judas, like, you are beautiful on the inside. Da, 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 boom, da, boom, da, boom. Da, da, da. You can write whatever the fuck you want. Write a Chinese food menu.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But it's not about the lyric. It's about there's got to be a ba, 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 dun, dun.
That's how syllable counts.
Right. And it going with a bit down, down. You got to rap with the beat, down, you know?
But see, that's rock. Rock is more like in on the beat. Hip hop is in between those beats.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's like, and knowing what your rhyme scheme is. Like J. Cole did it on, recently on his latest album, the off season. It was like, the beat is like, it's real like, boom, boom. But he's like sliding so effortlessly, and it's like, and his rhyme scheme is about four words.
Hmm.
That's the rhyme scheme. Some people would be like, oh, he's saying now. You rhyme on now. No, you rhyme the whole four words. This is too easy for me now. It's the easy hundred thou. Hmm. The easy running now. You put an M upside your head. You Luigi brother now. Hmm. So now he's going in between those beats, but he's rhyming four words. Like,
he's hitting the rhyme at the same part. But
every time, 12 bars. I'm like, he's going deep with this same rhyme scheme, which is really hard. You're not rhyming one word 12 times. You're rhyming, that's like 36 words.
Yeah. I got you.
Every time. Like, that's real. I'm like, and that's like a concept that you're like, wow, I have so much more to learn. It makes you want to like throw your pen down and just like, all right, I need to, you know, recalculate. Do I really want to do this? Because these guys are just so ahead, so far. Like Eminem's another one.
I was just thinking, you didn't really realize how great Eminem is until you really delve into his stuff. The lyrics are just insane.
The difficulty of the words that he's using, and he's fitting so many words in like these pockets.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where does your tongue muscle and your jaw?
Yeah.
Like,
when do you take a breath?
Yeah. Where's the breath at? Yeah. Where's like. And like J.I.D.'s remarkable at it. He's another one that's very R&B-esque with his, like, with his cadences and his sounds. You know, he'll sing too on a record. Smino is a magician. Like, he's an R&B artist, but his rapping is just so flow and effortless, and he'll just take his inflections in so many different ways. And so it's like, I listen to these guys over and over, and I like these records so much. And I've been doing it since I was a kid. And I think that's where, when I got to learning it, I was already had the muscle to do it. I just didn't know what I was doing. And it's basically like, okay, he's a kid who's been like killing it in basketball all his life, but he never played on the team. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're gonna put you on the court. Here's Greg Popovich. We're gonna teach you how to run a pick post and screens and all that stuff. This is how you do it. I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm playing basketball. I'm like, okay, now I'm making music. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's pretty much how I could pretty much line it up.
When you're writing your rhymes, your raps, your lyrics, does any of it come like on an improv? What do they call that? Just a free form?
Freestyling?
Freestyle rap?
Yeah. A lot of mine's intuition. For me, I got to find the melody first. Mm. Like when I wrote Tears, I was like in the gym working out, and I had the beat made by JG. He sent it to me based off of a Vince Staples song or concept. And The Shining was that song. And so I was like, I like that jingle. And I was like, yo, how do we get something like this? And he just made it. And it was just this jingle to it. And I was just like, I just heard that over and over again. And I listened to it, and like the drums came in. And then it was just like, how would I double time this? Killed all my dreams for a second. Miss an opportunity for a missus. And now how would I melodically bring this back? And I was like, no matter what it takes, I'm gonna free my mind. No matter what it takes, I'm gonna take what's mine. Now I was finding the melody. Then it was just like, okay, I want TZ involved in this. How do I punch this? Tears. I don't want to say, I want to free my mind. Tears. Wow. I don't want to say. So he was on every four, but I'm rhyming between every two.
That goes back to the cat you were talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. We've done two songs with the rappers, but you had a guy from Atlanta called Bone Crusher.
Bone Crusher's amazing.
He did it. So that song was called It's a Lie. And we wanted to rap. We wanted a Tina Turner vocal, a metal vocal, and a rap. And same thing. He just listened to the riff. He came in. I remember, like, he was a big dude. He just walked in. He's like, hey, man, what's going on? Big fan. What's the riff? Listened to it once. Listened to it twice. Spit out some rhymes. Yep. Spit out some rhymes again. And that was it. Literally took 20 minutes. And I was like, that is the real genius.
Those guys
of a freestyle rapper, you know?
Yeah.
And then we had High Road to Hero come work with us on a song called 3 Days in Jail. Same thing. Just listened to it a couple times. It's just the genius of it was really, really like you really see it up close and appreciate it even more.
You appreciate it. Yeah. I was in the studio with Chase the Money in L.A. Chase the Money just did a song for the Fast X movie. So that's just coming out this week. He's also done stuff with like Dreamville and J. Cole and Ski Master Slump God, all those guys. So it was like he was like scrolling through his phone and just like dropped it. I was like, oh, I like this one. Mm. He's like, all right, put it up. Boom. He threw it on the screen. And he has this team of guys that he's just there with. And it was like, and then he's just coming up with flows like, no, 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 no. I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay. And then I was like, 2 a.m. out in London. Yeah. Mask up and we dumping. Yeah. Yeah. 2 a.m. out in London. Yeah. Mask up and we dumping. Now it's like, okay, now we got to take the tempo up. Got a new way of making money. Got a new place of being nothing. But this place that we dumping. Got this place without money. And it was like, okay, cool. Now it's like, I picked up a 20 in France. Got money, don't need no more friends. Got comb on my heart and my lens. She praying I give her a chance. Yeah. 2 a.m. out in London. I threw a friend's out in Dublin. I took a friend's and I doubled it. So it's just like boom, boom, boom.
And that's on your record. Because I remember the song 2 a.m. in London. When I heard it, it's you hear that. That's one thing I love about song titles. And just the way you just spread that out was great. But 2 a.m. in London, it gives me a visual.
Yes.
Automatically, like, dark street, but there's lights and there's neon lights and there's action going on. Like, it's cool. Like, when you saw that and just hearing you sing it right now,
it was very cool. And because I've been in London many times for like progress and stuff like that. Yeah, 2 a.m. and in them streets and stuff. Yeah. And I was just like, being in Ireland and Dublin and stuff, doing those shows. And then it was like, oh, magically, we announced Wembley's coming up. I'm like, oh, boom, put that out there. So it was just like, oh, my God. I sent it to Mikey. I was like, can this be a theme or something? Yeah. I'll get a clean version of it.
Yeah.
But I get like just that's one of those 2-minute songs that's just like in and out. And then it's like the last, I like that hook is so hard. Loop it again at the end. Mm. Loop it one more time. Mm-hmm. Like, got a new way of making money. Got a name, ain't saying nothing. They dumping. I was like, oh my God. And that was a freestyle, like bar for bar for bar, every two bars. And he's just like, yeah.
So when do you get like, okay, so you mentioned, because a lot of the tunes I'm looking back stood out to you. Show Me was great. Deep Black, obviously Grown Man Cry.
Show Me is actually Kanye's vocals, real vocals on there.
Well, you use them, or he allowed you to use them?
Yeah, he has a split and everything on that record.
Wow, so let's Kanye talk about that, because that one's got a little bit of the dirty language in it, oh, yeah. Shall we say.
Oh, yeah. Some of them were like ex-girlfriends, I was in that kind of name, or somebody who's like, yo, y'all know when y'all hear the song, don't like Rosa. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah, that one's got all the girls' names checked even, right? All the girls' names are even in there. So let's talk about that. How did you get Kanye involved? And also, before we get Show Me, period. Why is that the only one that has punctuation in all the song titles?
Oh, that's probably a typo. Okay. I got no subliminal for that. To you. But I was like, I like it. Keep it. Yeah. Like, but that's hip hop, though.
See, it's like, it asked me a question about it.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's hip hop. Like, why is it? Like, people was like, oh, why did he use this? Was there something like, no, it just happened. Like, like my attorney was like, you know, there's a dip period at the end of it. I'm like, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, keep it.
Leave it. I like it.
So,
how'd you get Kanye involved?
Ye's, my producer works with him. He's recorded massive amounts of like vocals from Kanye that he just like hasn't used. So, he was like, yo, Ye would really appreciate you if you like use one of these. And he made a beat out of it. I was like, okay, cool. So I put him on. He put him on it, and I give him his splits on it, so he gets credit and gets them. Wow. Yeah.
So he already had laid down the rap.
Yeah.
And you just had the right piece of music that would fit.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's how that happened. That was the connection with my producer and him, since they won Grammys together. So he's like, oh yeah, I trust you. You're good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So obviously, like, he has to sign off on it. So yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Which like it's not really a feature. If it was a feature, yeah. But like with the vocal used in a sample, is just give him his credits and he'll be okay.
Gotcha.
With
it doesn't
that.
Say show me with Kanye.
Right. Then it would be like, okay, we need him to approve this thing right there.
So when you're writing these tunes, you mentioned somebody sent you a beat. Does it start with the beat? Does it start with the lyric?
Yeah. For me, it does. Like
start with the beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it goes to a concept too. Like if the beat matches the concept, I got to scrap the beat. Or sometimes the beat will create the concept. Like a Grown Man Cry, literally, there's a K Tronada song, and he has it's Anderson .Paak on the song with him, and it's like I was like, okay, this part. Then it's like then the beat switches at the end into a whole nother beat, and it's like boom. I was like, oh, that's funky. Hmm. Oh my God, that's fire. And then it has this jingle. And then there's harmonies at the underneath it. Like, this is amazing. And so I went with my buddy Rich. Rich Lotta has done a lot of work on the Who We Are project and doing he's doing a lot more work with Mikey Ruckus on the second one that may be coming up. And he goes, and I was like, yo, what can we do with it? I want to create something from this. And he's like, oh, I think I got something. And then he played the beat. He sent it to me, played it to me. Like, literally, the melody and the song, the instrumental, like, made me tear up because it was so, like, beautiful and pretty. I was like, yo, I was like, you dipped your foot in this one. This shit is fire. And then I was like, Grown Man Cry. Make a grown man cry. And I put a lot of real-life situations on that song, too. Like, I spent about $500,000 on realty for us to live right outside of the city. You was telling me the chivalry covered utilities, giving you comfort in exchange for your humility. So
that's awesome.
I was like pouring out so many things. Like, you hurt who you love. You love who you hate. The hate we embrace. I was just like, oh man, that was one relationship. Now it's just some bullshit with the other girls. And this. And it was like, oh man, that was one joint with this.
There's a bunch of girls in Seattle right now terrified to hear this album.
All over, man. And I'm like, oh, my daughters, man. So like, is like a lot of that is written like reflective pain. And things like I have a video for it. That's why I put it out on my IG reel recently, and had this dancer doing it. And it was like, It's like kind of like this Apple of Eden tree, and like it was blue, then it goes red, and that's kind of how like love is. It could be super like calming, and then it's like red. I'm like, oh my God, who is this woman? I don't know her, but then it's like, oh my God, this, I don't want to be with anybody else, man. This is the one. Then red changes, and it's like, yo, she is the devil. Oh my God. And so it's like, that's those kind of like sudden changes in tone and color and like people's emotions and feels can make men cry. And that's okay. Grown men, like it's the amount of stuff that you do, it's okay for us to be vulnerable. And like, I feel like love is accepting the vulnerability, but it's also a scary thing exposing your vulnerability too, because you leave it open for the same thing over and over again.
Right.
So,
and like you said, every song has a concept to it. Talk about Deep Black.
Deep Black is aggressive.
What's the concept though? What's the lyric about?
Deep Black is like kind of like, it feels like there's darkness in your heart. It's like it's a substance. You know, it's a deep black substance in you that you just like, do I leave it out of me? Do I like, I love that. I love that feeling of being angry. Sometimes being angry and letting it out feels good.
Mm.
You know, it may not have good outcomes, but it's like yelling and screaming. Oh, finally I got that out. Now the deep black is that it's materializing what that feeling is, you know, and it's moshing out and like getting a little crazy and a little loud. Because sometimes, like, I'm a big Tyler Creator fan, and like I like a lot of his early stuff with like on Bastard album and Goblin and stuff, and like he has a song called Radical on Goblin, which was way ahead of his time. It was like way different from at that time. That was like 2010, 2011. A lot of people weren't in that lane. Hip hop was not in that lane. It was going more towards like Future and Migos and stuff. That was really starting. It was going to start going that way with it. Southern hip hop's a sound was starting to move up, and Tyler Creator's a dude from California doing like mosh pit radical songs with punk rock tones, and you know, this sound of like doing some violent shit. He's like, I'm not saying like, and he has a saying is like, I'm not saying like it's okay to go out there and do like do this stuff. I'm just saying sometimes you just got, it's okay to do what you want, you know. And it's just an extreme version of that, and that's what Deep Black kind of is.
What are some of your favorite lyrics that you wrote on this record?
On like the Deep Black one? Or
and on the records. I mean, you were spitting out rhymes from a couple of them here. I mean, I just wonder if there's a certain couple lines to you that are like really mean more than the rest.
Pity Pat is like my wordplay song. That's me and TZ just going back and forth. Like,
what's wordplay mean? Explain that.
Wordplay, just a lot of metaphors, similes, double entendres. Just having fun.
Yeah.
They're like, what's the concept? We don't have one. We're just like spitting, like in this double time rap too. So it was like, stash box, dark tent, trap, cellular phone. I saw the tape, play it back. So I know what I'm owed. I know the layout of the crib and what's under the flow. I'm getting back what I own and I'm ready for more. Clipping everyone in sight. Even parents are home. So, and then I do a little thing at the end. I was like, rush through and never make a peep. Vandalized, bust all over the sheets. You can call me the same OG. A cheat code, never played for keeps. I did your first, now you sold my reap. I played the scene, couldn't tell it was me. BTE, so my sneak's elite. So there's like a little fun wordplay and putting guys in there, just having fun.
Yeah.
Just letting shit rip. Yeah, and then TZ takes the record to a whole nother freak. I saw him record. I'm like, oh, that's how you feel. Okay. All right, cool. I guess it's on there, so.
You know, it's interesting to me as you know, especially as a white guy, as white as it gets, when we talk about Bone Crusher, you use the term word a few times in the record, and most rappers do the N-word.
Yeah.
And when we had Bone Crusher come in, and the song was called It's a Lie, and he was spouting out this amazing lyric at the very end, he just yells it. N-word, and it's like we probably can't keep that on Fozzy's tune. Like we can't have that in there.
Right.
But he was like, "No, you got to leave it, man. It's part of the feeling." I'm like, "I get it, but it's so out of context on our record." Is that in hip hop? Is that the one place where that word can be used?
Depending, like
almost like it means many different things, or
it's like comedy. Like you could say offensive jokes, but it's about the concept that
you use. It,
yeah,
right?
You can't just throw obligatory like. Words out there, and like, because like like Dave Chappelle's stand-ups recently got so much flack from like the trans community, LGBTQ plus, from his material. But if you just take the clips and just post them out there, I'm like, oh, of course anybody's going to get offended by these things. But like, if you like see how he like sets up the joke, starts the story, understands the pain behind what he experiences from seeing people go through that, and then seeing like the perspective and all that stuff.
You hear the whole story.
Yeah, you get the whole concept, and like, oh, this is a really bad thing. We shouldn't be. We need to like, that's harmful. But at the same time, if y'all can do this, y'all can do that. I'm like, like, see, that's funny.
Yeah,
he's not hurting anybody. He's not like making fun of.
It's
like,
comedy,
it's
right?
The comedy. It's the same thing with music, man. If it's set up the right way, and you like, the concept is good. And like sometimes it's just good to have fun with it. Some people, like, there's a lot of records that just like using bitch and whore and hoe and this and all these other things that are just thrown out there, but the beat is riding though, and you don't even hear the words, bro. Some people just like to knock their heads to things. If you like obsess over all those, how big hip hop is, how massive the amount of music that goes out, if you obsess over those things, it's just like you're cutting the industry in like more than half.
Mm-hmm. It's part of the culture of it too. Yeah.
The music industry makes way too much money to do that. I promise you that. Like, dude, there's no way. So it's like, let it fly.
Who are some of your favorite rappers of all time? You mentioned you've been doing this since you were a kid.
Oh man, all time. My favorite all time is Ye. And so for I can definitely separate the artist from the action of the person.
You have to, right?
Yeah. You have to. Yeah. But like from the contributions he's made for me ever since like 2002, 2003 is just like mind-blowing. And for him to have some type of impact like on what I'm producing now is like full circle for me as an artist. Now jumping in like later in my life, but still early in, to have that like, hey, I have a Kanye collaboration there. This early on my first album is really big, you know, and that kind of inspires me, incites me to, what else can I do? Like, oh man, I already got this. Like,
right.
Imagine what I can do this a year from now. What if I do this? Like, it excites me to do more. You know, that's what these artists are supposed to do. They're supposed to inspire you to want to get out and do more, because you accomplish something that's like, man, I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to do this like 3 years ago at all. Now I'm doing it on my own. Mm-hmm. Now I'm getting collaborations from these guys. I'm like, and they think I'm dope and they like me and they want me to do more too. Like, that's huge for me. Music Soul Child is my favorite singer of all time.
Music Soul Child.
He was just in Orlando recently. And we went to a show and we just hung out with him for like 2 hours after his set.
That's great.
Like, and we're just playing songs, unreleased vocals. I'm like, why? Where is this? Why are you not using this? He's like, oh no, playing around. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's crazy. His story is incredible too, because he went from like just couch surfing home to home to home in Philadelphia to just like recording some songs. And then in 99, just Def Jam just like, hey, here's $64,000. We want to sign you. We want you to make you a star. And he was like, what? Like, he just went from the couch to like that. And then having the number one R&B album, to like everybody knowing who he is, to having his first hit single being on the Nutty Professor soundtrack at the time. And then following up in 2000, having another one, number one R&B album, just like back to back to back years. So, like, that's remarkable to me. He's like, I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just kind of, like, just going into the studio and just like, okay, I can do this.
I'm
like,
right.
You mean you just didn't know what you were doing? You made Love, one of the greatest R&B songs ever.
We
still sing to this day in 2023. People know that song. You know, like, all these, like, timeless records with timeless artists. It's crazy. So those two are big influences of me, for sure.
It's interesting to me, like, growing up when you mentioned being a child of the 80s. I actually was a teenager in the 80s and kind of saw the influx of rap into pop culture, you know, in general. And it kind of came through, obviously, you knew a little bit of Grandmaster Flash.
Yeah.
Blondie Rapture had a very rap element to it, which was kind of a really weird thing. Even Kiss had a song called All Hell's Breaking Loose that was very much a rap. Yep. And then, of course, Run DMC and Aerosmith kind of break the doors open. Is that kind of the one of the most monumental moments for rap music to kind of go to the mainstream?
It's always been happening before that time, but like that was like when you get it on TV on a music video. At that time, when music videos were like, that was the mecca of getting your music out. That's you took two of the most biggest, like, influential icons at that time in their respective genres of rap and metal and rock to put them together. That was big. So now, and it always starts at the top. When it starts at the top, the influences drop down, boom, 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 boom. So now everybody want to follow that pipeline to try to replicate that same thing. You know, another big one was like when Jay-Z did the one with Linkin Park. That was huge, really big.
There was a record, there was a movie called Judgment Day in the early 90s.
Yeah, I love that.
The movie. Soundtrack was, the whole soundtrack was metal bands with rappers doing, you know, collaborations.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it's huge. I think it's important. Then you have like Nelly doing stuff with, what was it? I don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah.
I don't want to get it wrong. But yeah, like Over and Over Again was a song that was like Nelly doing something with country music.
You know? Oh, wow.
Gotcha. Yeah, that was like really like, a head scratcher, but it was like number one, boom. Then now you would say one of the biggest collabs ever in this generation was Lil Nas X with Billy Ray Cyrus on Old Town Road. Because like, I remember the big controversy was Old Town Road was a country song, but when it went to the award ceremonies and stuff, they would categorize it. No, you're hip hop. He was like, no, but I did a country record. Like, no, but you're a hip hop artist. Yeah. You did hip hop. Yeah. That's a hip hop song. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. So he brought in Billy Ray Cyrus to do the remix. Oh, now you're a country song. Yeah, I was like, come on. Way to cheat the system. But it went number one again.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally rated one of the greatest songs of all time. The most successful, I would say, because of that. And so that collaboration is so important.
Well, Elton John just had that with Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
You know, she kind of did a mashup of three or four of his tunes.
Yeah.
And it's like, here he is with a number one in his freaking 70s. Like, I think 8 decades in a row, he's had a number one hit because of the mashup with Dua Lipa. Like, that's very smart on both sides of the
Yeah. They, yeah, it's like I hate today people say, oh, he's washed, this guy's washed, oh, he's has been. I'm like, no, like the collaborations are what brings new life into these things. Like these are timeless artists. Like, it happens in hip hop a lot. He was hot like 2 years ago. He's not hot anymore, so he's cold. He's cooled off, because like hip hop is like one of it's the youngest genre in music. But it moves so fast. It's like ages and dog years. It's right. Quick, because like we're trendy. Hip hop is a trendy sound. Like, oh, we're not snapping anymore. We're not doing this dance anymore. We're not doing this anymore. We on to this. Oh, we're not wearing that anymore. No, we're not. We don't. You still wear that? Oh, we don't wear that no more. We wear these now. And it's like in a matter of like 3 weeks, I'm like, yo. Like, that's why, like, growing up, I was like, I can't keep up with hip hop, because like I can't afford it.
Right,
I can't afford to keep up with it. So, but it's the same with music. Like, they're so quick to find the next guy. Like, they're looking for the next Drake. I'm like, Drake isn't even 40 yet. Right. Like, God,
damn. Yeah, he is the next Drake.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Who are the biggest hip hop artists of all time?
They just did a list, actually, of the top 50, and they put Rick Ross at 50. So that's pretty big. I think it was up there. And then, Bun B's up there, too. And we had Bun B come in with the Trill Burgers the one time. That are currently still alive or just all time?
Just of all time. Like, who's all the time. Stones?
You got to start with Biggie and Pac, and then Jay-Z's, like, at this point, you can mix up any one of those at number one of the three. Because Jay-Z's our LeBron. We watched him grow from like here all the way to the top of the industry, and there's nobody else like even touching him. You know, first billionaire rapper, you know, active billionaire rapper. Then it gets a little tricky when you get into producers too that rapped. Like, you can put Pharrell up there. You can put Missy Elliott up there.
Dre.
You can put Dre. Oh, man. You can put Timbaland. You can Man, there's just so many guys because they doubled as artists.
Gotcha.
As well.
Did both, yeah.
You know, M's up there. Kendrick is slowly creeping at his young age. He's slowly creeping up there as like one of the greatest to ever do this. Hmm. Just off of like, he's never had a bad album at all. He's only dropped 5, but those are like 5 strong albums. And usually at this point, usually your third album kind of does the dip, or the fourth, or no, they're all just like boom, 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 boom. You know, like 50 Cent up there, one of the greatest ever do it. It's like, I put 50 up there because he had the highest peak ever in rap. Like, he came on the scene and just went boom,
right,
shot straight to the top, and then just, it was like no question. He just ran hip hop for like those 2 years, and it was like no question, this guy's it. Mm. And then like, but it didn't last very long. It was like those 2 years, but I've never seen a harder, stronger 2 year run than 50 Cent. Then you got Lil Wayne, who just had a consistent 8 years, who's just like everybody who put on. He brought on Nicki Minaj, boom, right to the top. Brought in Drake, boom, right to the top. And he was featured on everybody's song.
It's interesting. Yeah,
he changed the mixtape game. He wasn't putting out albums as much. He was putting out mixtapes with all like 20 songs. He put out like 10 mixtapes with 20 songs. I'm like, why are these albums? These yeah. They should have been Grammy nominated because they were that good.
Right.
You know, but he just changed the mixtape game up. Then he took like other people's beats and like did freestyles over them and just wiped them out of the freaking out of the water. That was what I was coming up with. Kanye, the 2000 to 2010s, nobody's touching.
Who's the kind of the hot ones now in 2023?
Jack Harlow definitely has a lot of steam right now because he's also on the reboot of White Man Can't Jump.
Oh yeah, so, I saw that.
Yeah, so that's him on there. So he's like really riding the high wave. He's 25, not even maybe. Mm-hmm. He's hot right now. Lil Uzi is one of my favorite new artists. Mm-hmm. Now, he's been there to AEW. He's friends with
met him.
Yeah, Jade. Yeah. Oh, I want to meet him so bad. He's one of my favorite people. Mm. Tyler Creator is definitely like proved. His story is so good because he proved a lot of naysayers wrong. And then like because he said like in 2009, 2010, he wasn't even on the map like as far as like one of the top artists. And he said like I'm gonna win me a Grammy. I'm gonna win a Grammy. And they were like, what? Dude, you're corny. We don't like you. Whatever. Skateboard dude. Then like 2017, 16, Flower Boy came out and he just was like, what is this? A whirlwind. He just caught the whirlwind at the time and then worked with Pharrell and he just went straight to here and won 3 Grammys in a row.
Yeah.
Crazy.
This is won 3,
yeah. Yeah. Of course, you have the Drake, Kendrick, and Cole as the top 3s. Wale's still out there doing his thing too.
Yeah,
Wale's still dope, there, yeah. Man. Shout out to Wale. Rick Ross. Me and Teaser said certain guys you can't even count. They're in the clouds. Mm-hmm. They're Mount Olympus now. Like who are the next guys? You know, I think JID is remarkable. J. Cole found a diamond with that dude. Mm-hmm. So use him, push him, put him on every record, throw him everywhere. And shout out to the ladies too. Meg Thee Stallion's killing it. Cardi's killing it. Lotto's doing her thing. She's coming up. I just got introduced to Lola. Oh, what's her name? Lola. God damn, I just got introduced to her. New York chick too. Hmm. Dope artist. Man, there's just a lot going on in the world.
Well, last few questions for you. What do you have? Lola Montez?
No, okay. I think it's like
we're just looking at any.
I don't want to say Lola Bunny, but it's like.
What do you have? What are your plans for You Couldn't Be Me?
First off, we gotta get this Benny the Butcher feature placed on that Spotify. That'll probably just be in a solo thing. Shout out to Benny, who's one of the best like lyricists out there right now, from Griselda with West Side Gunn and Conway and the Machine. Benny, amazing. Definitely just I'm gonna let it breathe for a little bit. I shopped around to like some guys. I just took a trip to Atlantic Records, you know, and got to go in the studio where like Cardi B records. That's and cool. Like Andre 3000's recorded in there, nice. And stuff that. So I made a good impression from what I'm told. I made a good impression with them.
Yeah.
I wasn't pushing too hard, like, yo, sign me. You know, just like I'm just like, oh, here, this is who I am, this is what I present, like, nice to meet you type stuff. I'll be back. So building up rapport with Atlantic Records right now. The next goal for whatever I do next with these projects and stuff is Ross. Got to get involvement, which he's spoken to me saying, like, yo, we got to do something together. That's cool. I'm like, yes, we do.
That's next level, yeah.
Music Soul Child wants to do volumes of projects together with me and TZ. So that's going to be a collab group effort. And we're putting all our friends and team and all our resources together to create that. So that's magic in itself. That's a dream come true for me. I want to tour and do some performances with these. Maybe out in London. I got to do 2 a.m. in London in August. Yeah, maybe I could pull that off, hopefully. Yeah. Because I know that London crowd would be insane for something like that. So that's I have a lot of goals, and some things are going to just pop up naturally and just let the universe take me wherever it goes and not force it too much.
That's what you do. And like I said, you always make these things happen. And you're always thinking next level and thinking outside the box. And that's what you got to do, because it always works. If you know that you want to do it, you can make it happen. And I think this record is a perfect representation of that, along with all the other things you got going on. So congratulations, man. What's your favorite song on the record?
Work It is like a record that I didn't think I was even in the realm of doing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a club banger. It's like, girls shaking their ass, I like it. I'm gonna talk about it. I wanna, you know, everybody in the club that you dancing for ain't as fly as me. Come over here in VIP. You know, I got you. We're gonna have a good night type stuff. Work It was fun. Featuring Fireman. Shout out Fireman, who Chicago artist. He actually writes with Chance the Rapper. Mm-hmm. That was another connection from my producer, Prophet. And I met him in LA the one time at a movie premiere, and he was dope, super. He was like, yo, I love this record. Yo, thank you for having me. I was like, no, thank Prophet, bro. Collabing. It's just two different sounds, two different artists, like two different concepts. He definitely freestyled that verse, though. I can tell. You freestyled this. But he had fun. That's what that record's about, just having fun and just like play it loud. Play it loud, man. Play it loud with the woman that come over, bro.
I like Show Me, period. Yeah, you can make some love to this album.
Hopefully. However, it was definitely one with a little. I love However. However is like I said, I'm a melody guy.
Yeah.
And it has like all the harmonies and melodies with the Soul For Real in there, the group Soul For Real sampled on there. I love that one.
Well, it's good stuff across the board, dude. Congratulations. And thank you. Look forward to see what you come up with next.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you for having me.
Got it, dude.